What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, where you can get real, honest opinions about films that are opening in your theaters soon, and every once in a while, an older film as well. So stay tuned. Enjoy what you're hearing. Don't forget to like us and follow us on social media at VS Movie Podcast. You know how all that works. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Ryan, long time no see. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. First off, though, how was L.A.? You went to a music festival.
Yes, it was good. It was good. It was hot. It was. And then it wasn't so hot. But, I mean, it was like upper 90s.
Oh, and humid because California.
Yeah, but then it cooled down to 80s.
Oh, wow. Following day, so. Must have needed a jacket. Not quite, I'm sure. Did I lose you?
No, I'm
here. Okay, ooh, you just got really quiet all of a sudden. Okay.
I'm really quiet.
Okay, that's fair. Let's talk about a couple movies then. Let's talk about one that opens tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow, a couple days from now, this Friday. Sequel, but not a big franchise tentpole super blockbuster sequel.
It depends on
the size of your tent for that tent pole, I think. Downton Abbey 2, A New Era. After the well-loved series, all six seasons of it, and the well-received...
Nine seasons.
There's six. We own them all. And the well-received first film from a couple years ago, we now get a continuation of the story of the inhabitants of Downton Abbey, the Crawleys. Lord Grantham and his family and extended family, and his mother, played by the one and only Dame Maggie Smith, who's awesome. We get a continuation. If you want to go listen to what we talked about Downton Abbey, you know how we feel about that. Downton Abbey 2, we go to France. But we also stay at Downton because the family splits and there's drama in France and there's drama at home. But let's talk about the really important thing here, Ryan, because you haven't watched the entire show.
No.
But your mother has.
Yes.
And she was your plus one for the screening, which I told you you needed to at least offer it to you or to her, and I'm glad you did. The real question I think about Downton Abbey is, what did Mom think?
She thought it was okay.
She thought it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't really excited by it, but she wasn't disappointed either, and I think that's kind of, in a way, kind of, I don't know, where is that a bad thing at this point? I mean, you know, how many stories can they tell that are, you know, about someone famous is coming and we have to clean up the house and we don't have enough money and
other
drama and things. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, but look, she by no means did she think it was bad.
Right. Well, and it's not. So, yes, in the first movie, the king and queen were coming for a day. And in this one, a film crew wants to film at Downton Abbey, and they have to go and claim the villa in the south of France that has been bequeathed to Violet, Dame Maggie Smith, by a long-lost acquaintance, ? So we spend half the movie figuring out that deal, and half the movie dealing with Lady Mary, dealing with this director trying to make a movie, and with all of the staff doing their bits. Here's how I kind of boil it down. You're right. You can't be disappointed, but they're not super exciting. This kind of flies in the face of the genteel nature of Downton Abbey. But like anytime you watch any Downton Abbey now, it's like slipping into a nice pair of blue jeans. They're comfortable. They fit in all the right spots. You know, they're not, it's impossible to not be in a good mood while you're sitting in there in a good pair of jeans. You know what I mean? Now, no one at Downton Abbey would ever wear a pair of jeans Except maybe Lady Mary, but then she'd get yelled at by Carson for how dare she. Yeah, I know these people. Sorry. But it is. It's just Downton Abbey is just one of those franchises where if you like it, you like it for what it is. And literally nothing in this movie, no matter the plot point, no matter how ridiculous or contrived, you know it's going to work out at the end. In the movies. In the series, you would have episodes that ended badly or seasons that ended wonky. But in the films, it's like, nope, whatever you think is going to happen or whatever you think is going to come to character A, B, or C, you're probably going to be right. And it's probably going to work out okay for them. And that's really what we have here. You're right. It's tough to be excited about it. Your mother is correct. It's tough to be excited about it, but yeah, you can't be unhappy about it either.
No, and I can't help but wondering, you know, if they have to kind of end on a somewhat positive note because they don't know if they're making another one.
Right.
So you can't, you know, I don't think they feel like they're in a position where they can end it on a real downer. You know, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, well, to be fair, this movie doesn't necessarily end happy. But ends, every character ends up exactly where they're supposed to. For, you know, and I don't want to spoil it because there's a lot of stuff that the groundwork is laid in the first film. I will say that the film opens with a wedding, but it doesn't end that way. There you go. But yeah, it's just a nice bit of comfort viewing, I think, more than anything. I don't know why it's so popular in America. Maybe, I mean, as much or more so than in England, where it takes place and, you know, whose grandparents were probably working downstairs at the manor house. So it's, you know, in America has this weird fascination with England and royals and aristocracy. We hate it. We fought a war to get away from it, but we keep up with it. And it's just one of those weird things that just doesn't really make any sense. But I'm glad it does. Or I'm glad it works because it just makes for some really fine viewing overall.
Yeah. I think part of the appeal on this one is the fact that they kind of delve into that. Being upper class is not necessarily an easy or cheap thing to do. That there's a lot of what you put on a front and you try to, you know, be very showy, but the roof is leaking. And,
yes.
You know, I mean, there is this sense of, okay, it's not really as great as they present it to be. Not that we wouldn't swap places
right.
or take, you know, what they're going with, but I think that puts a little humanity into them that, mm-hmm. that might not otherwise be in there.
Yeah. That's actually been one of the hallmarks of the show, is that, Julian Fellowes, who created it and wrote it and I think has written everything. He always finds a way to make those characters relatable in some respect. And a lot of it, and you know, I hate to crib from Vin Diesel, but you know, it's about family. And it really is. It's about a family. Now you're right. Yeah. They have to put on a front, you know, appearances must be maintained, but eventually you have to maintain the backside. And so they, you know, they deal with a lot of, and ironically, in a completely unrelated note, if you watch Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman, you learn that is a common occurrence in the aristocracy. Yeah. Roofs leak in these manor houses. They're always short of money. You know, every time somebody dies and there's an inheritance, money goes away that now you didn't have enough before to do all this. Now you have less or half, I think, in England. So it's first world problems. But yeah, most of us would change places with those first world problems. So,
for an example, a real world example, a lot of these places had estate taxes. And a few years ago, there was an estate up in Scotland that couldn't afford to pay their estate tax. So they hosted a big music festival on their grounds, because that was the only way that they could really come up with to be able to, you know, pay off what they needed for the year.
Yep.
So, there's an element to that in this film.
Yeah. The film crew. But again, then you watch how that all plays out and you can see it all coming. It's like a very slow moving train. But again, it's what you expect. Everyone winds up exactly where you, once it's all obvious once we get there. I mean, once they introduce a thing, you're like, oh, this is probably what's going to happen. And yep, there it is. But again, it's okay because it's not in the, I like to talk about the internal logic of films. And normally we talk about that when we're talking about science fiction. This is like reality fiction, but again, Julian Fellowes has created an internal logic for his characters that he's pretty good at sticking to, even though the world they inhabit is gone. But even that, you know, he's working in a fixed world. If you ever watch any of the documentary stuff from behind the scenes, all the crap that you see, the servants, the upstairs and downstairs, the ringing, the table settings, the dinners, all that crap is spot on. Like, yeah. They have like historian people come in and train the staff and make sure everything is right. So he's working within a known world and he doesn't deviate, but he creates the logic of his characters and he's real good at playing in that while staying within the lines that he's got. And so again, it's just another reason nothing's never out of bounds for what he's built. But simultaneously can just seem ridiculous. But we've all had ridiculous garbage happen in our lives. Theirs just happens to happen in 2-hour movies, all at once. So it's a weird world, but because he's had creative control of it since the beginning, I think that is why that level of performance and behavior and expectation has been able to be maintained. I think if they changed showrunners in season 4 and then had someone else write the movies, it wouldn't have worked. But I think because it's his baby, you know, there's something to be said for artistic control. And we talk about that a lot.
I think it goes a little beyond that too, though, is because they've been able to keep the cast together. Over, you know, there hasn't been, you know, all, it's not like a lot of the major players have said, we're not going to do the movies.
Right.
And it's interesting because a lot of times you would say, well, that's because they don't have other things to do. Well, in the case of this cast,
they do.
The majority of them do have more than enough to do. And so, you know, there's clearly a feeling that they love these characters. They love being around, each other, you know, there's, which makes a difference, particularly when you're doing something that's, you know, so many years in.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like anyone's there because they're obligated to be there.
Right.
Not that, you know, if they're good performers, we wouldn't necessarily feel that, but there's no air of that at all. It almost feels like they get to play, you know, these it's playtime to them.
Yeah,
literally, you know.
Yeah. And so it all blends together into this wonderful feel good kind of thing. And see, I don't mean to imply that this is not going to do well at the box office.
I have no idea.
Yeah, but it, I mean, it's not going to do Doctor Strange numbers. You know, this isn't Top Gun coming. Smart to drop the week before Top Gun, though. it can front load this weekend and see what happens, even though it's got a couple things it's going up against.
Well,
a couple.
I think to be fair too, it's you know, this isn't as going to be as front loaded as a Doctor Strange would be. This is the sort of film that if people don't see it on the first week, they can see it the second or third. There's not the same sort of spoiler,
right?
You know, fear or you know, sometimes this sort of film might just kind of stay steady.
Yeah.
Never have big numbers, but stay steady.
And that's
kind of like, you know, and it's fine.
Yeah. And that's, it is, that's, we need movies like that. We've had a couple this year. The biggest one, of course, I believe is Everything Everywhere All at Once, which just continues to kind of truck along at the, at the box office. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so that is from Focus Features, Downton Abbey, A New Era.
Which is kind of funny because it's sort of a new era.
It's sort of a new era. Well, it's a new era of behavior. You know, there's a lot of talk about descendants. The old era is still here, but it's waning. It's starting to transition. So we'll see if there's a third, how he handles it. Cause it will have a different feel because of the end of this one. So,
yeah.
Which yeah, again, sad, but expected and totally sensical. So, but Focus Features that opens on May 20th. Yes, that's 2 days away. So, check it out. It will be in theaters everywhere. That is the only one we have for this week. So until we talk about some more that are this week, don't forget to like us, follow us on social media at VS Movie Podcast. You know how it works. Follow us on YouTube. If you do that, that's great. We're going to talk about some stuff opens next week. We're going to come back and revisit this week. It's going to be great. There's lots of movies and we're really, really happy about it. So until we do that, I'm Mark. That is Ryan. Bye, Ryan.
See you guys.
And we'll talk to you later.